Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome to our Women's Rundown, a special free show from the Anfield Wrap about Liverpool women. And first and foremost, Philippa, Liverpool women are top of the league. We wanted this day to come for a long period of time since they've been relegated. And they earned it in the best possible way. They didn't go top of the league because they just won a first couple or two or three games. We're nine games in. They went to the team that were top of the league. They beat them 2-0. They deserved to beat them 2-0. They were much better than them on the day. There's only really a 20-minute patch where Durham get anywhere near asserting themselves. Liverpool women now sit top of the league, primed for promotion. There is a long way to go, but it's precisely where they will have wanted to be after going away to Durham.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, going into the next couple of games, it was imperative that we were top of the league. You know, it was a massive game yesterday. On the way there, I was pretty much, you know, I'd have taken a draw. Not that yep. I wanted us to draw, but it was very much a don't lose ground to these kind of situation. But from 10 minutes onwards, I just felt like we were far the better side. And it was really disappointing that, you know, we went in at half time and we weren't a couple of goals to the good, because I thought we were that much better than them in the first half. And the way you can tell that is the way that the home crowd was reacting to what was going on as well. You know, there was plenty of silence and negative comments, I would say. And then start of the second half, the first 20 minutes, I felt, you know, Durham got a little bit more into the game. They caused us a few issues, played well, and the crowd got a little bit more into it. And I feel like we just scored at the right time to kind of like knock that little bit of confidence and that little bit of a stuffing out of them. And like you say, we're top of the league now, and it's happy days going into these next couple of fixtures.
It's one, Andy Bell, where I felt there was, as Philip has just sort of described it there, it was little short of a hammering first half. Durham really were hanging on for dear life. There was 10 minutes where there was a bit of back and forth. And then from that point, everything meaningful that happened in the game didn't just happen in the Durham half. It happened in the Durham final third that they were defending. And Liverpool, I think, will have gone in frustrated on 45 that they hadn't converted what was clear dominance into a goal. And the only concern I had was firstly that Durham would feel like they got away with one, and secondly that it might be one of them. But there was the gulf between the two sides is one of the things I'm most surprised by after the game. You know, this was first versus second, but it didn't look like first versus second. It looked like Liverpool were streets ahead of Durham for long periods of the match.
Yeah, sometimes when you watch a football game and you analyse it, you can see one thing or one tweak or one sort of slight tactical switch that a manager's made, and you know, the player keeps getting in time after time again, and a team keeps targeting down that way. But the thing about Liverpool's performance there was there were so many different ways from which they were creating chances. There were so many different avenues from which they were causing Durham problems. There was the set pieces, which, you know, every single time Liverpool were getting the first head on, second head on, very unlucky not to score from a couple of those. There's the fullback to fullback play. I think there's two or three chances at least before the actual goal where Roberts plays a ball to Taylor Hines on the other side, whether it's a cross which has been slightly overhit, but Hines is always hammering in there at the back post, getting those chances. And then there was just the kind of interplay through the middle. You had Furness selected over Kearns, who was, you know, getting beyond the lines, controlling things, having shots herself. And Leanne Kiernan, albeit, you know, the hot streak was broken last week, was back on it again and making these runs and creating chances. It was such a dominant, great Liverpool performance to watch, and sort of came out of nowhere. I remember after the game against Lewes, where we won 2-0 at home, there was a very kind gentleman said to me on Twitter, pointed out that Liverpool had only beaten bottom six sides, and the one game they had played against the top six was the one they'd lost against London City. So while, you know, that is, you can only beat what's in front of you, it was important for Liverpool to show that they can do it against a better side. And the frustrating thing about Blackburn, I guess, was the fact that it let London City back in, and a two horse race became a three horse race again. But it's very much all about Liverpool now, and two games in the league until the Christmas break, and win those and we're flying.
Lauren, you've been watching Liverpool against Durham for many a year now. And one of the things that we talked about before the ball was even kicked this season in a number of different areas was how Liverpool will have to deal with Durham, that Durham are a specific challenge that every team has to deal with in the Championship, that there's a certain type of physical threat that they have. There's a certain way that they play. What surprised me by the performance from minute one, from 90 seconds in, Rachel Furness absolutely goes through a Durham player in the middle of the park, was how prepared Liverpool were for that physical challenge. And when Durham get into half-time, they've been absolutely battered. They've been second to everything, on and off the ball. Free kicks have been given away, but Liverpool haven't cared about that. Liverpool looked about as keyed up as I've seen them so far. They were not going to be left second best physically to Durham, I thought. And I thought that was in the essence of the selection and in the essence of the performance.
Yeah, I think if anyone knows me, knows I absolutely hate when we play Durham every season. It's always the first fixture I look for. And simply because there has been most recent games where they've just rolled us over at times. But yeah, like you said there, I think we've been planning for this Durham game for a couple of weeks, not just in this week's build-up. Yeah. And we've been looking at them for the whole season and seeing them as our main rivals this year. So, they had a game plan, we had a game plan, and I think we just stuck to ours a lot better. And like you said, no, Rachel Furness going through someone in the first minute and a half of the game, it just sets the tempo, and it basically just says to them, we've come here for this win, we're not just going to roll over like we have previously and just let you play how you want to play at home. You know, we've brought a big crowd with us, we've brought what we want to bring to the table. And I think just the run of form that we've been in recently and the mentality that the squad's in at the minute, I feel like you can just sort of go and beat anyone. You don't sort of have those same pre-match nerves that you have done in previous seasons.
What you have, Philippa, is a remarkably stout football team. The selection of Furness over Cairns, I think, is really interesting. And not just Cairns as well. There's other midfielders who could well sort of be popped into the middle of the park. But what you've got with Kiernan aggressively running channels in one sense there, what you've got with that midfield partnership of Holland and Furness, which is all physicality and smart play, snapping into things. What you've got with Hines and Hines's energy and Roberts's energy as well, and then the back three, and also Rachel Laws, who's quite a dominating figure. There was a real sort of sense of solidity and purpose to Liverpool. And they grind Durham down. There's not much lovely interplay for the first half an hour or anything like that. There's 10 minutes where the game's a bit up in the air. And Liverpool just then get to the point where they're just prepared to kick the door in. And that, to me, was almost in a sense what was most pleasing. It wasn't intricate little passages of play. Liverpool, ultimately, by about 40 minutes or so, they're bullying this Durham side. And that is a massive change to what we've seen in the past.
Yeah, I mean, when we think back to that first game of last season, you know, you could tell that we really struggled up against that physical nature of a side. And, you know, Durham, I think, showed us what this league is all about, really, and the sort of challenges that we were coming up against. And it really felt to me yesterday that we've really come to terms with that, and that we've basically turned up at Durham and gone, do you know what? You come here, you're physical, you know, we know what we're in for, but we're going to give it you just as good as you give it to us. You know, after that first half, I thought the first 10 minutes we were a little bit edgy. And then after that, I felt we really got to grips with the game. And we actually sat quite high up, I felt, in defence. It was almost like we were saying, we don't think you can get in behind us. Yeah. We were quite compact, played within quite a small space, I would say. And
really,
I think
penned them in, I thought. And
yeah,
a number of times,
exactly.
Just saw Leanne Robe come all the way. If one of theirs tried to drop deep from the forward line just to link a bit of play, Leanne Robe especially came all the way out, even if she had to go into what was almost like a pure centre midfield position, all the way in order to press them and say, you don't get a minute on this ball today.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you felt like Kerry Holland and Rachel Furness were there to support the forwards rather than support the defence. And like you say there, you know, Leanne Robe coming up almost into a defensive midfield position. And I think it really surprised Durham. It was almost like a little bit of a change on, I know the system, when you look at it, you know, the actual formation, it looks very much like what we've been playing for the last few games. But for me, it was a little bit more fluid yesterday. And I felt like Hines and Roberts were pushing on even further forward than what they have done in recent weeks. And they were almost like too wide forwards for me yesterday. And, you know, they really seemed to struggle with that, Durham. You know, like we said before, Andy mentioned about, you know, the crosses from Roberts on the right-hand side over to Taylor Hines. And they just couldn't deal with that. Hines just didn't give anybody a moment on the ball as well. And, we were just in the faces. And I don't think they're used to that. I think they're used to teams, and this is something that Liverpool did last season, going into the shell against them. And we were basically showing them, actually, do you know what? We're the best side here, and we're going to show you that. And they did it, you know, with aplomb.
They were brave in and out of possession, Lauren, I thought. They were prepared to, as Philippa says, gamble in terms of the position and push right up. Trust that each individual player, each teammate would win their one-on-one battle if it was needed. And in that first period, it is noticeable to me how much every single Durham player is sort of trapped inside the Durham half. They solve it, to be fair, to Durham a little bit. Second half, they get a bit of a plan. They reset a tiny little bit. They get a bit of a plan. I think they feel as though they can press Liverpool down Liverpool's left-hand side and force them back that way, and then use that to build and occupy Liverpool's in Liverpool's half for a period. But in that first half, they could not get themselves out of their own half, and Liverpool just kept the whole game in and around the Durham box.
Yeah, and there was times where they did win back possession, and even some of their own players weren't quite prepared for it. So it mightn't have been anyone further forward for them. But yeah, it's interesting to see how the back five works, because immediately once our full backs push on, you know, Fahy drops. But then when it goes time to go defensive, all five of them are right back into their shape and are right back where they need to be. And that seems to be a system that's suiting us perfectly at the minute. And because last season we conceded too many goals, there was too many draws, and you know, we've solved that issue, it seems, so far. So, you know, to go away and do it against a Durham side and it worked perfectly just shows just how much of improvement this squad has gained over the last couple of seasons.
What was impressive for me, Andy, they come under a little bit of pressure at the start of the second half, but bar one opportunity, possibly at 1-0, there's not really a point where you feel as though Durham can genuinely break into the Liverpool area and have much in the way of time. Liverpool only conceded 4 goals now in 9 league games, which is remarkably impressive, remembering the fact that one of them, a first game, is ever so slightly contentious penalty, at least from my view, and I'll contend what I like. But there is for me a thing here where this side, they're not often going to be remarkably easy on the eye. They've got that in them. If the opportunity is there, they can move the ball and they can move it quick and they can move sides around. We got to see that against Lewes, sort of thinking about the long flow of these games. But what they are is just remarkably robust and, as I said before, brave in and out of possession. And it's what underpins that Durham performance and that Durham win for me, is that bravery in and out of possession.
I think what you mentioned there in that question about they're not remarkably good on the eye sometimes is somewhere I kind of want to start, because I was, Philippa will tell you this, I was sat beside her for the Blackburn game, and we were both absolutely tearing our hair out at times, because to me what was happening was the passes between the kind of back lines or the passes into midfield were just either a yard too short, a yard too far either side. Or, you know, if we were recycling the ball, it would be a yard behind them and we'd have to run back and we'd have to reset. And in your mind, you think that's only 2 or 3 seconds taken out of the game. That's not a lot. But if you think about the impact that has on a team like Blackburn, who had come for a point, who knew they were frustrating us and who knew they were going to limit us to only 2 or 3 big chances, as it turned out to be, if even that, that gets them 20 yards up the pitch. That gets them to reset. That allows them back into shape. And it gives them a little bit of a serotonin boost as well in terms of how they're doing. They knew they'd forced us into something. And like a couple of times in that game, I mean, firstly, I don't think we used the fullbacks enough in that game. That's something we used to great effect against Lewes and used to great effect yesterday. And I'm not sure if it's how Blackburn's set up or if it was just a case of we'd chosen to go for a different route in training that week. But it was getting very frustrating, both in terms of how we were on the ball. and how we weren't making the pitch big enough. The contrary to that is exactly what all three of you have said, was the performance yesterday and the performances in general across the back line. I mean, Nifahi is just the epitome of a head it and kick it defender is disrespectful. It's not entirely accurate and doesn't paint the whole picture, but she does that side of the game so well. And being in the center of a back three is massively beneficial to that as well. And another player I wanted to mention for that, and I think Philippa mentioned her pressing there, but just in general, her play on the ball is Leanne Robe, who last season wasn't fancied at all and wasn't getting the game time. And I think, you know, had a little bit of a touchy relationship with the manager from what you hear. So for her to come back in and make that position her own either side of Nephi has just been such a breath of fresh air to this squad. And the formation, I look at it and I just think it suits those players down to the ground, so many of them. I mean, the only thing I guess is it's quite hard to get Kearns and Furness into the same team, which is, you know, ideally you'd probably want to do, but every formation has its loopholes and every sort of way of setting up will have things that you can and can't do. But he's stumbled across it. And it's working so well for Liverpool, and for the foreseeable future, it has to be what we go for.
This side, Philippa, it isn't perfect, but it's remarkably hard to beat. They haven't conceded a league goal since the end of September, and there are a number of games in that is not one of the oddities of the way in which the women's schedule works. That's a lot of games, and the game that they did concede in there, they win against Crystal Palace, and they get the whole of the second half without conceding many games. They're not conceding many chances. And I think that when you've got all of that, you've got Kiernan scoring key goals, you're well set up, you've got a plan. The back post crosses has been mentioned up against this Durham side. All of that becomes a side that is capable of effectively continuing and then finishing this job that they've got for this season, which is to get promoted. Let's be honest about it. Liverpool don't have to play that many teams that have that many attackers that are as good as Liverpool's in this league. So the fact that they can be so robust, that the fact that they can be so solid and they build from such a foundation means that at some point they're backing themselves to get a couple of chances, to take one of them, and then have the game open up for them. It happens against Durham. It happens against Lewes. It's been happening a fair bit for this Liverpool side. I think they've just got to sort of stay the course with this now, because it looks as though it is the pathway that will get them home.
Yeah, I kind of feel like we're a side that's needed to get to the top to get our confidence properly. And it's kind of felt like it's all been building to this moment. I mean, obviously now we'll see over the next few games how it all pans out. But I kind of feel like this team needs to lead from the front. They don't want to be a team that's chasing somebody. And, you know, that's an issue that we had last season. And we really struggled. We got a bit panicked and then we were ending up losing points against teams that we just shouldn't have been. But I think a lot of it as well, we talk about the defence there and how solid we are and how few goals that we're conceding. But a big part of that is Rachel Laws as well. Yeah. I mean, yesterday, again, she just commanded that area. And, you know, there was challenges going in left, right and centre. At one time she went down and she needed treatment for quite a lengthy period of time, and you know, startup was actually getting ready to come onto the pitch, and you know, she managed to carry on in the game, and she didn't lose any of that authority in the box, even though she'd been down and was obviously quite hurt by what had happened. And I just think that communication as well from the back, you can just hear her constantly talking to the defence and, you know, telling them where they need to be and, you know, what the dangers are in and around them. And then, you know, we've seen in other games this season that when a team has managed to get a chance, that she's made some cracking saves as well. And I think when you've got somebody like that, backing you up as well, that also plays on teams' minds. The opposition, you know, they feel like they've got to take any chance that they get because they're not going to get many. And, you know, that can mean that they snatch at chances as well. It was a problem we had last season. We created plenty yesterday and, you know, finally we got those goals that got us the win. But, you know, other teams, you know, they're really struggling to create anything against this side. And, you know, it's a credit to all of the side for me, but in particular the defence and the goalkeeper need praising for that.
The other person that needs a lot of praise at the minute, Lauren, since we've last done a show like this one, is Leanne Kiernan. She's been excellent from a Liverpool point of view. She's just in and around the penalty area. She plays a part in the build-up of the second goal, which, as I said before, is a great goal, beautifully headed home by Taylor Hines. But in this game against Durham, the game's against Lewes, she's just constantly dangerous. And I think that that's, it's fantastic to see. And it gives the side a real cutting edge.
Yeah, she's like that perfect poacher, striker that you want. Like you said, in the right place at the right time, it seems, all the time. I think that's seven goals in the last seven games now, which is a brilliant return. When she first signed in the summer, it was a bit of a, can she do the job that you needed to do? Coming from West Ham, I think she only scored three or four goals across the entire season last year. But now she's doubled that and more already this season. And that just shows what playing in a team full of confidence and sort of do for everyone there. So, yeah, she's been the perfect signing that you could have asked for. And she's just plays that number nine so well. You know, we've highlighted the speed and how she can get in behind defenders. And there's been a couple of times where she's sort of gone too early and she's been called offside. But she sort of rectifies that for herself for the remainder of the game then. She knows what she needs to do, and she just plays on the opposition defence so well. So far, she's definitely been sign of the season for me.
She's been excellent, Andy, and it's a relief for this side, really, because there's a lot of good players who can do a certain job. You know, Mel Lawley's a really good example of it, able to be really direct. But what helps, I think, and what's helped Mel Lawley is there's a sense of purpose from the person in front. The person in front is going to get herself between the sticks, drag defenders around, create space, make it just simply more straightforward. And I think Lawley's, you know, playing ever so well on the whole at the minute. She didn't get much room to show what she's capable of against Durham, but was a really good outlet. But the point about all of this is having Keenan as number nine and having her play in the role as she is, it's allowing for greater flexibility. It's allowing for constant graft down the channels. Liverpool have always got a ball on because Leanne Keenan will make it a ball. And then on top of that, she's added the goals.
Yeah, and not only does she make the runs, not only does she get there, but if a ball's sort of pumped down the channels, if we've no other options, she always makes something of it as well. She always holds it up, brings others into play. She's really good at that. She can run it herself. She can get to the byline, force corners. It's been so impressive to watch in the last couple of weeks, because I'm not sure if it was just my perception of her in the first couple of games I saw, but she seemed to me very much like a penalty box striker, like somebody who was going to take the chance if given to you, but not necessarily going to give you that much more in a game. That's the way I felt in the first couple of games that I watched her, but it couldn't be further from the truth, and it couldn't have been more wrong. She's such a great outlet for this Liverpool side. She's just plays, I think, literally paraphrasing exactly what Lawrence just said, plays the number nine role perfectly. It's everything you want in a number nine. There's nothing that you can say, oh, I wish we could bring somebody in and they could do this. It's a little bit better for certain games. She's the exact, whatever the opposite of horses for courses is, horses for every course. She can play her up front in wherever, whichever game it is, whichever defenders. You know, there's two very physical defenders in that game against Lewes, I think it is, and Durham as well. There have been other types of defenders, quick defenders, and she's excelled in every single one. And I mentioned earlier that the run was broken against Blackburn. I mean, I think possibly, I haven't seen the highlights from it yet, but she may actually have had an effort that was over the line. To me and to Philip, I know we were talking at the time, we'd said that it looked like it hit the post and came out, and everyone around us was fuming. So we thought they've definitely seen something here. But according to some people have seen it, and some people say it crossed the line twice. So, I mean, we can maybe still count it as six in a row. And I mean, I'll still be singing the song at the next home game. And I think, as you say there, you mentioned some of the other attackers. And just to touch on that, you know, Ashley Hodgson had such a good start to the season, or certainly the two or three games in the middle of this run. She was playing really well along with Mel Lawley, and not really sure exactly why she's been dropped for Yana Daniels, who maybe doesn't quite offer the same quality on the ball or the same like bites every single time. But Yana Daniels, every time I watch her, seems to make things very awkward. She's always busy. She's always involved. She's always getting on the end of things. The end product can be frustrating, but that's really important, because in not every game an attacker plays, everything will come off. Not all the time will you get the quality or will you get the chances, but if you're busy and you're always there, then, you know, you'll always be a massive asset to this team. So competition for places, and they're all playing really well. So you can't get asked for much more than that, really.
Not so much more than that, Philip. I think there's the other thing that's working quite well with this system, as we discussed earlier, is that the manager can click a couple in and out. Roberts is excellent against Durham. She's coming to replace Wardlaw. at this stage. But now he knows he's got the option of either of them for that right-hand side. You've got both Humphreys and Cairns, who would quite like position, I'm sure, in the middle of the park for Liverpool. And Cairns has had a few more opportunities. You've got the idea at the minute it will be Kane and it will be Lawley, but there's one more speck. Even at the heart of the defence, there's room for him to make one or two changes there. I think it allows the idea of constant freshness and also a bit of tactical flexibility whilst they're still being this particular framework that Liverpool can play in. And that's what they've been showing across these games.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it gives us the option as well that if a player is struggling for a little bit of form, that he can change it about a little bit. I know Carlo Humphrey hasn't really had an opportunity as yet. But, you know, she's a very skillful player and I can see her getting a lot more game time to work, you know, throughout this period. Now we've got a game again on Wednesday night, I think, in the Conti Cup. And then we play again on Saturday evening. So, you know, they're quite tight together, these three games. And I expect the whole of the squad to get a run out in these next two. I mean... Wardlaw's obviously got an injury, which has meant that Rhianna Roberts has got her opportunity in there. And it's going to be very interesting to see what he does when Wardlaw's back from this injury, because, you know, you couldn't have asked any more from Rhianna Roberts in the games that she's played since. You know, she's been very solid down that right-hand side. She ended up coming off yesterday. I'm hoping that was just because she was tired. And I know that Andy just mentioned Yana Daniels there. And I was a little bit frustrated with Yana yesterday. I feel like she doesn't quite give us enough going forward. But I really felt that once we were 2-0 up, you got to see what her qualities were. She filled in for Rhianna Roberts when she did come off on that right-hand side. And her work rate cannot be faulted at all. And I think that is something, you know, that we can really hang on to, you know, when we get ahead in games, that she's the sort of player that's really going to graft in there and you know, work her socks off and work for the team. And I think we've got a lot of players like that now. And it's something that maybe we haven't had for the last couple of years.
The work rate aspect, Philip, is really interesting to me because one of the things about playing this way is you do ask all of your players to run. If you're going to play this 3-4-3 or 5-2-3, you're asking a lot physically. What I thought was really interesting in the game against Durham was he was reluctant to use the subs because of the intensity that was there, because they were playing with a certain rhythm. And I think he's just thinking, I don't want to throw someone in yet. And he was reluctant to do it. But in a lot of these games, you're seeing Liverpool take advantage of the five subs because there's an onus, isn't there, on Kane to run the channels, Lawley to keep trying things. Whoever else then plays in the front three, they've got to be dependable and cover space, I think. The two midfielders have got a real onus on them, and then the wing-backs have got to get up and down, over and over. I was watching that game there against Durham yesterday, and I was just thinking to myself, Liverpool are having to run and are running harder and faster than their opponents here, but that is the onus that the manager's put on the players, but so far they're standing up to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I really do feel like the squad is a lot fitter this season. I don't know if that's just, you know, because they're winning games and they're at the top of the league, and, you know, last season felt like they were struggling a little bit. But, you know, there just seems to be a little bit more fitness in there. They don't seem to be flagging as early as they were last season. And, you know, maybe it's because of the competition for places as well. The players know that they've got to put the work in, otherwise they're not going to be playing in the next game. He's going to put somebody else in there. But, you know, there's not one player that I look at and I go, they're not putting the effort in. They're not, you know, pulling their weight in their position. Everybody is absolutely working for this end goal. And it shows, you know, with the celebration after Taylor Hines' goal, for me, literally every single player's over there celebrating with her. And, you know, I think teamwork and that team ethic is something that Matt's driven into them this season. You know, you can do it as individuals, but in order for us to get out of this league, we're going to have to play as a team. And I think that's coming across in spades now.
Last part of all of this, Lauren, is the challenge to come. There's the Conti Cup games. They are on the horizon, one more this midweek, where I'd expect Liverpool do make a number of changes. But to be crystal clear, it is now all about the league. You know, Liverpool are in the position that they found themselves in. where they are top of the pile. They have played 9 games of a 22-game season. So next to come, they've got Sunderland at the end of this little run next Saturday, and then they've got Charlton on the 19th of December before Christmas. These are matches where they will be looking to make sure that they keep the pressure up at the top. It's no time to slip now, is it? I think the Continental Cup, they've got 2 good results. They can back this team, making changes to hang on in games and get something and stay competitive and maybe get out of the group. But the focus is going to be those league games.
Yeah, it's hugely important, the league. I think, you know, everyone loves a cup run. So far, we've done well, like you said, but your focus is always 100% going to be on the league. It's always going to be in the back of your mind. And like you said, 2 games there. I remember saying on a podcast, I think, a couple of weeks ago that, you know, we had 3 or 4 games remaining until the Christmas period, a total of like 12 points that we could get. We've got a few of them now. Go and get the other 6. Put yourself in a good position coming back after New Year, going into the second half of the season, because it flies like that. It goes so quickly. And, you know, we noticed that last season that we didn't quite get the results earlier on, and we paid the price for it in the second half of the season. So we've done what we needed to do so far. Just continue to do that. And yeah, you know, Sunderland, they got off to a really good start of the season. They'll be a tough game. Charlton will be a tough game. It's the Championship. It's not an easy league. We've established that for quite a while now. So yeah, just as much as I'd love a cup run, just focus on the league, I think, for me, because we need to get back to
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's no shadow of a doubt for me, Andy, that getting back to the top is getting back to the division above is now the priority. They've given themselves a really good foundation. I think you can't, you know, this is, there was a new manager in. Yes, it's annoying that the game that they have dropped points in was the game against the side that currently do sit, that do sit just a place beneath them, that sort of 1-0 defeat. First game against London City, that we'd like that gap to be different. Yes, it's frustrating that they didn't find a way to convert against Blackburn, but the fact of the matter is that even in amongst those teeny bits of hard lines that they've had, they do now sit top, and the job now is to get to Christmas and to get to Christmas with 6 more points on the board, and then be able to have a little look at the table around them. That is the only job that's open to them.
You say that, Neil. I'm a bit of a Conte Cup romantic, me, to be honest. I'm into the idea that we win this thing without winning a single football match inside 90 minutes. I'm loving being the penalty queens at the minute. But no, you're absolutely correct. It's one of those you look at it, and the first half of the season, the fixtures, as I mentioned before, have been slightly favourable to Liverpool. But apart from the Blackburn game, they have more or less, broadly speaking, got the results against those teams towards the bottom of the league. And you can throw out these things, these pejorative terms like flat track bullies all you like, but flat track bullies are what you need to win the league. Almost, 3 points.
They're also on the verge, Andy, of having played everyone once. I mean, you know, what's happened is a lot of when they've played these sides haven't been in the top half, but they are now. They beat Crystal Palace, sit fourth, have scored 18 goals in 9 games. Liverpool beat them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This is the, yes, they've got to do Charlton and Sunderland, but then they've played everyone once. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't care when they sit, when we play them. If when we get to 11 games, we played everyone once and we're top of the pile, ideally having won 8 of the 11 games, then you've just got to sort of accept that and move on.
And the other thing is, in a league where there's so few teams comparatively to the other leagues around the world, you know, if you beat a team, it may well put them into the bottom half, you know, from a position of fourth or fifth, you know. So all those things come into play. But yeah, there's 2 games left. One's at home, obviously. You want to go into that Christmas break. And I mean, the breaks in the Women's Championship and the WSL are absolutely massive. I mean, I think this international break coming up is nearly a month long, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. But one of the other things is, I guess, that, you know, the international break, there's a lot of chat about it in all forms of football, really. But we've a lot of players who are going away, you know, on Republic of Ireland duty, Northern Ireland duty. They're going away to these international camps where it's genuinely so exciting for them. They're going into these World Cup qualifiers with so much to prove and so much to gain. And, you know, they're underdogs in this. And that could just massively raise the spirits of this camp even more compared to another team who are maybe, you know, playing underage England level where you're expected to win every game and this, that and the other. So that could be a benefit to us as well. And it's just so important that we go into it. And, you know, Sunderland, I think, is one of the league games we play. We play them in the Conte Cup as well. So it's a good little practice run at that. And then it's Charlton at home to bring us into Christmas. So yeah, I'm expecting at least 4 points, but hopefully six, and go into Christmas top of the leagues. That's what we all like to see.
It's the most important thing, Philip, and it really is, and it's what it means. We mentioned at the celebration. I thought the celebrations for both goals and the photographs that I've done around have been absolutely tremendous. For me, the intensity of the performance, the nature of the celebrations from both goals, but especially the second, because I think they felt it was done then. It told the story of me of the intensity of focus around this one thing against Durham. It really did. I thought that there was a real sense that that they knew how important this game was, that no one was taking it lightly. Even the manager trying to play it down before the game, the manager could try and play it down any way he wants. His players made it crystal clear, I thought. This is a team that is all about one thing and one thing only, and it's going up.
Yeah, I'm getting the impression now that Matt Beard saying one thing in front of the cameras and to the journalists, and he's saying something very different to the players, because there's absolutely no way he went into that match yesterday thinking a point's all right here, because there's not one of those players that played like they were going to be happy with a draw. I genuinely feel like if they'd have ended up, you know, with a draw at the end of that game, their heads would have been bowed and they'd have felt, you know, quite down about that. And, you know, we saw that last season, that, you know, how negative effect that can have, and it can spill over into other games. And I think the opposite can be true now, where, you know, the positive feeling from that match yesterday can then filter through into the other games, and that they can take that confidence forward for the rest of the season. You know, I would absolutely love 6 points from these next two games, go into Christmas, top of the league, and, you know, show everybody that we're the team that they're going to have to beat and get ahead of in order to get promoted from this league. I think, you know, we've played two really, really tough away games against teams that were above us at the time. You know, the game against Sheffield United shouldn't be forgot either, because we were dominant in that game as well.
Yeah.
And I think Liverpool have shown in those big games, in those massive games, that they're the best team in this league, and the league position is now showing that.
Excellent stuff indeed from Philippa, from Andy and from Lauren. It's a pleasure to be able to talk about Liverpool being top of the league after 9 games. Excellent stuff from Matt Beard and the women he's got under him to do the business and pull these great results out of the bag. Thank you very much to Andy, to Lauren and to Philippa. We will be back with another one of these before the games in December. Looking forward to that hugely. See you then.
Sports Social Podcast Network.